Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I am Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, if you could, with the wave of a wand, completely erase the existence of one Christmas / holiday song, never have to hear it again, which one would you erase?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. God give me strength every time that song comes on. I hate that song. You know what else? All I want is you by Mariah Carey is up there also. I cannot. It's too much.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Whatever. Thank you, Caroline. All I want for Christmas is you. I can't with that one anymore. It's like trying to quit smoking and just smoking three packs of cigarettes at a time. That's what they've done to me with those songs.
Oh my God.
What about you?
Last Christmas by Wham. I'm sorry. I hate it. And I also hate simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
You know what? Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you like old songs more than the modern songs?
No, I like a mix of songs. I would say that if I had to pick between the two of them, I would pick the old songs because I think a lot of new songs are just lazy cash grabs.
Agree.
And a lot of covers are just like overwrought. Like Christina Aguilera, calm down.
Girl, you don't need to do the trills. Like just give me a straight...
Too many runs. Okay? Sometimes lo-fi is best. So, like, Little Drummer Boy by Low is a good version of a bad song. Anyway, I just don't need the simply having a wonder. What are you talking about, Paul? What are you talking about?
Entirely.
All right. Today, we discuss the shooting of the UnitedHealthcare CEO and how it's being talked about. Is this a watershed moment of class solidarity? Mm-hmm. Is this a disgusting moment of clout chasing? Can it be both? Can it be both at the same time? We're also checking in on the men.
They're not okay.
Not our job to fix you, but we are taking a note of how things are not going well over there.
But we're aware you're a problem.
You're a problem. There are problems. There are problems. They're intermingling problems. And then we get to Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. All right, let's get to the show. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people whose entire FYP is dominated by Luigi Mangione and is not hating it.
Hmm.
Is yours, Alyssa?
Full of Luigi? Yes, yeah. It's full of Luigi. I'm maxed out on Luigi.
Luigissimo.
I got to tell you, my people, 50% of my people, the Italians, they're either sopranos or they're Luigis.
Why not both? You know, it is funny. America's newest sweetheart is a murderer who's... I saw a joke on Instagram the other day that it was like, maybe it was The Onion's Instagram, and it was like, beloved murderer's reputation tarnished by Goodreads profile or something.
I saw
like
that too. Wait, did you know that The Onion's bid to get InfoWars was blocked by a judge just like 10 minutes ago?
Fuck that. Are you serious?
Developing story. We'll try to get more info, but yes, just this morning.
Oh my God, that's
I know.
Sucks.
Sorry to interject with different breaking news.
It's okay. The people need to know. Okay, well, last week, the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, Brian Thompson, was fatally shot in Manhattan. And since then, there's been an avalanche of support in favor of the murder and the shooter. Mm-hmm. The suspected shooter, Luigi Mangione, who's Mangione? Mangione.
Either or. Potato, patata.
Tomato, tomato. Nobody says tomato. Whose extensive digital footprint from LinkedIn to Goodreads has given the internet a wealth of material to fantasize about his motives and other things, too. Because there's a lot of thirst for Luigi out there. Some are applauding him as a sort of modern-day Robin Hood. Others are horrified about the idolization of a murderer. So let's talk about it. Because, Alyssa, I think you and I have some different feelings about this whole situation.
I mean, I just don't really ever think murder's the answer. I think, one, we don't really know why he did it yet.
His manifesto is out there.
I did not read his manifesto.
It's only like 260 words. It's really short. It's not a Kaczynski length manifesto.
No, I know. I don't know. I mean, he had been missing for a long time. His parents had a missing persons report filed because they hadn't seen him. I just feel like there's a lot going on that we don't totally know. Okay. If the point of what he did was to bring attention to a broken and ghoulish industry, health insurance, that, like, I don't know, is that what's happening?
Yes,
like
if it is.
Think so, though? Yes. All anyone's doing is talking about how hot he is.
No, I think people are talking. I mean, there was an avalanche of people talking about their bad experiences with UnitedHealthcare specifically.
Which I think is a good outcome. I think that people should do that. I think the story that came out, I guess that's the point. I tried to find stories that talked about more than the murder. Like are reporters digging into the things that the UnitedHealthcare has been doing? Like the fact that they use AI to deny 92% of their claims for elderly people. I saw that in one article. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know. I think that like the people who work at the McDonald's that turned them in are getting death threats. There are wanted posters out for other CEOs all over the streets of New York. I think what he did is sad. I don't think killing this man was the answer. I think Luigi seems like a very smart person who clearly had the means to come up with a very elaborate plan and maybe could have put that brain power to different or better use.
Yeah, but here's my thing. This is the most we have ever been talking about this. And this is the first time that it has been so broken open and exposed. Mm-hmm. How antagonistic and frustrated and angry people are en masse. Like how much the angry people outnumber the people that are like, whoa, 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 slow down here. Because it's so inhumane. The way that insurance companies treat people is disgusting and inhumane. The fact mm-hmm. that there is a profit-seeking layer between people and care for their own health and well-being. The fact that death panels, Sarah Palin's death panels, do exist and they're not even people. You know, it's so like dystopian. And I think that talking about health problems and health insurance problems as a single case, as a, you know, by yourself in a vacuum is not necessarily going to get the sort of viral momentum that this crime had. And it is, you know, it is a crime, but I think it is a crime, but it is a crime. And I think the fact that it is a crime and that it is so brutal is bringing attention to the brutality of the system in a way that nothing else has.
Look, I am all for bringing attention to the fucked up system. I have had anesthesia denied by my insurance company. Like that's happened to me. But I think that the way people are talking about it is becoming a perverse cultural incentive structure for copycats. Like the way that this guy is, everyone's like, he's so hot and he got 65,000 new Instagram followers. And I just think that in a world where that's so online, I just think that this is going to have maybe a different outcome. I mean, but I don't know. Look, I mean, you're probably right. I'm like the moderate pussy who doesn't wish ill on anybody and all this stuff. But like, I just think that, you know, on the one hand, you have Blue Cross Blue Shield that came out like the day of the murder that said they were going to basically, their people who live in cubicles were going to decide how much anesthesia a person could have during their surgery. That is insane. And this reversed that, right? Because of this, they got scared shitless and they reversed.
That's not clear because there is no reporting that like where BCBS is like, this is why we reversed. The timing circumstantially is
that's
very—
That's all I'm saying. I'm not, they of course did not come out and say that. I'm just saying if if it was a policy one day and wasn't the day after the murder, it feels like maybe something scared the shit out of them. Mm-hmm. I think the best outcome here is that the insurance industry maybe takes a hard look at themselves and understands that if they are going to, which they do, play God, right? They play God with people's lives. And this man then played God with the CEO's life.
Like, look, the CEO played God with people's lives and profited immensely. He was making $10 million.
I'm not defending but the CEO.
This is costing Luigi something. This is costing him everything. He is playing God and it is costing him everything. Mm-hmm. And Brian Thompson got to play God and benefit.
Well, he's dead.
Well, before he was playing God and benefiting immensely. And all of the other insurance CEOs are playing God and benefiting immensely. And their children are going to the same schools as people like Luigi Mangione. Mm-hmm. Like their kids are going to $40,000 a year private schools. They're going to University of Pennsylvania. This is somebody who was in a position where he could have had everything. Like, here's the thing. If Brian Thompson or somebody like him were responsible for, if he were just like in a room, right, mm-hmm. pushing a button, and every time he pushed a button, he got $10 more, but another person died, but someone else would go out and like kill another person. Like, that's kind of what he did. You know what I mean? Like, he just like, you know, made more money the more healthcare was denied. And it wasn't even about killing people. It was like causing people suffering. We don't know much about Mangione's like personal health journey, but we do know from his manifesto that he was like a computer engineer, and that he said that his digital footprint is pretty well taken care of. So everything that's out there, we can be pretty sure that he meant for us to see mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's out there is at the top of his Twitter page or his X.com page, which the only reason I've logged into X since I like went to Blue Sky is to like look at Luigi's X. So anyway, he has like a picture of a back X-ray. There's like some pins in a spine. And we don't know if that's his back or someone else's back, but like people who have been in chronic pain, people who have had like painful surgeries and had things denied to them, like the fact that somebody can sit in an office, push a button, like denying your claim, money go up, money go up, money go up, at like it causes them no pain. This is the first time that these the people on the like executive side have experienced like fear and pain in any way commensurate to the amount of fear and pain they've put out there. And like, should murder be a crime? Yes. I think murder should be a crime. And I think it's a shame that we live in a society where people have to, when they're talking about the reasons for this and the reasons that this has blown up the way that it is, have to be like, now, of course, I don't think people should go out in the streets and kill people because the internet has become like a total bad faith machine. But I will say this. This is the most dramatic moment of class solidarity that I have seen in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the system itself needs to be dismantled, has there ever been a time in history when a system so profitable for people, but also harmful for people, has been dismantled without violence? I don't think there has been.
No, the banks weren't dismantled in 2008. They actually were allowed to get bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like, another thing, Alyssa, you mentioned copycats, and there's a part of me that's like, oh, like, are disaffected young men going to see this and be like, ah.
Well, that's what I mean, because, and I don't just mean copycats against other healthcare CEOs. Mm-hmm. I mean people who wake up and disagree with something someone believes or says. I am not putting Brian Thompson in that category. He, as you said, inflicted a lot of harm on a lot of people and got wealthy doing so. But I just think that this sort of like hero worship, which is what it is, for better or worse, is something that if you are, which we're going to talk about later, a misogynistic, angry man who sees the love and adoration that Luigi is getting, how is this not an incentive to go out and hurt the person that you dislike, that you disagree with. And they don't have to be on a macro scale.
But they're not going to get the attention unless it's on a macro scale. Like, it's not just about hurting the person that they dislike.
Well, but they don't know that. Like these people aren't on the level, I guess, is kind of my point. If someone disagrees with a corporation or, I don't know, you know my point. I hope then Luigi does change the healthcare system.
I think that what it does is, this is my hope. I hope that this is the only bloodshed in this transition. And I hope that there are a lot of lawmakers who see this, who see how angry people are and see how uniting it is to be frustrated with the fact that there is a profit-seeking layer in between people and healthcare that they need, and will actually do the politically brave thing, maybe not profitable from a like insurance company lobbying perspective, but do the brave thing and say like, okay, we need to take steps to dismantle the private insurance industry. We need to like unravel this. We need to start doing it now, because I think that if it doesn't start now, there's no reason to think this is going to be the last time this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing is, I think people who have profited from the system are so high on their own supply, to use like a pharmaceutical term, that they don't understand why people hate the system. And I think that the first step is for people to get on the same page as like, hey, listen, people hate you guys. And like, this is why, because people, like, people's pain, people just suffer in silence. People die because of this profit-seeking system. And it's like, insurance should be, everyone puts their money together into a big old pool. And that risk pool just kind of, it gets spread around. And you take from it as you need it. You put into it as you can. You take from it as you need it. But what it's become is everybody puts their money into a big old pool. And above the pool, there's like a resort where like 50 guys live. And they get to drink from the pool and swim in the pool whenever they want. And we actually get jack shit. And it can't be like that.
I just need to say, I agree with all of that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want anyone thinking I'm like defending insurance companies. I am not by any way, shape, or form. I just think that in some circles of the internet where people are talking about this guy, it is a little reckless.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's like pretty clout chasey at this point, because yeah, he's so like, there comes a point in like the hype cycle, which we've talked about when we talked about the Depp Heard trial mm-hmm. happening, where like something being popular makes it more popular. Yeah. And people who are trying to like, you know, get a taste of those sweet, sweet Luigi related views are going to get in on it, not because they have anything good to say or helpful to say, but because they want to like dip into his clout.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like you said, Alyssa, I think the conversation that we need to be having is like, let's talk about the harm that the system did to people and talk about how to prevent this from happening again. Oh, also, he shot the CEO of United Healthcare with a ghost gun.
Yeah, that was horrifying. Jesus Christ, untraceable, totally untraceable.
Untraceable ghost gun with a silencer that he downloaded and like printed with a 3D printer. So like, another good outcome of this is like, maybe we could talk a little bit about like gun control.
But
right?
Also, there's one other part of this story that is absolutely, I think, wild, mm-hmm. is that about a day, 24 hours after he was shot, and people started thinking that the shooter, Luigi, might be on the run, there was a reward put out for information leading to the capture of whoever shot him. I don't think United Healthcare put any money in.
No. No, they didn't. And then they had the meeting 2 hours after he died. Yeah. Like,
they just like, they stepped over him as if he was roadkill and were just like, sorry, meetings got to go on.
It's like, I mean,
pretty fucked up.
Honestly, I'm glad that at least somebody was thinking of the meetings, because the meetings are the real victims here, you know, right? People have agendas, they have pastries put out, they've printed out things, they've been collated, You know, they might even have one of those little plastic spines. They had to go to an office supply store to get those. Nobody likes going to an office supply store. So, you know, I'm glad the meeting survived, at least.
That's, the meeting happened.
Item number one, Brian's dead. Item number two, profits are up.
Are up. Profits are up.
Good job, team. Like, oh my God. And also, that also brings to... CEOs are not worth that much money. I'm going to just say that. CEOs of healthcare companies, like if a very important meeting can just go on without you.
And the price and the stock price goes up, it feels like not the message I would want if some ill harm came to me.
Well, they just saved like $10 million, right? So there you go. There, pay that out as a dividend, guys. Like there's something, I mean, the insurance industry is so inhumane that it is inhumane to the people who have given their lives for it. It is insane. I think that there is going to be a lot more that we learn about this. I hope that there isn't a mysterious like jail incident where we don't get to hear from him anymore. But it also seems like he's pre-programmed some stuff to like post online. So
probably he's got some things scheduled to send.
This is like Batman villain stuff.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? I want to close this part of the conversation out by just saying, on his Twitter account, he retweeted a joke where Batman and the Joker were facing off. And the Joker was like, Batman, if you kill me, you'll save all the people on the boat. And Batman was like, no, if I kill you, I'm no better than anyone else. And the Joker is like, hey, you've ever heard of the trolley problem? I think that it seems like Luigi saw this as a trolley problem type situation. But the thing is, the thing that's really sad is that there's going to be another person that fills in for him. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, this is a developing story, obviously. I mean, obviously I'm not condoning murder, but I do think that this feels like a watershed moment in history.
I'm certain. You're probably totally right.
And we will not know the full scope of what this all means for quite some time. But wow, front row seat to history once again. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to check in on the men. Are they okay?
Don't think so.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that does not require pre-approval. What is it called?
Prior
authorization from your doctor. We are counted as preventative care, right?
Still not covered.
True. Which, by the way, not to get all bleak, but you know, when the Trump administration comes into office, they're probably going to change what counts as preventative care. And so there's going to be a bunch of stuff that isn't covered anymore.
Well, but Donald Trump's going to want a clout chase and he'll pardon Luigi. So I wouldn't count them chickens before they hatch.
Oh, do you think he's jealous of Luigi?
Yep, 100%. Absolutely. When I'm talking about being nervous about copycats, he is among the basket of people I'm concerned about.
Oh, you think Donald Trump would try to copycat by like executing a CEO?
I don't think he'd execute, but I mean, that Kash Patel's got a list of people he's going after. I would not. All Donald Trump cares about is to be beloved, right? He just wants people to love him.
He wants attention.
What would get Donald, same to him.
Yeah.
What would get him more attention from people who hate him than getting involved with Luigi? I'm just telling you, watch this space, as the kids say.
I got to say, Luigi is going to go on Joe Rogan the second that he is free. I predict it.
I think that's he'll have a 3-hour conversation with Joe Rogan, and we'll get into the we'll get into the real meat of the situation.
I'm going to say he is obviously very smart, like very smart.
Clearly.
And I just am imagining a conversation between him and Joe Rogan and Joe being like, so to like, what kind of, like, how did you print the gun? And Luigi like going off on, well, man, that's crazy.
Or if Joe Rogan just pops up and is like, did you hear about that lake that disappeared in California? What do you know about that?
Oh my God. Do you ever overhear a conversation and the people having the conversation are both wrong? They're saying wrong things.
I eat out by myself a lot.
That is, so when that happens to me, believe it or not, quite a bit. And the amount of like tongue holding I have to do, just sitting there, like the pressure building, and like, that's how I felt when I was listening to the Donald Trump, Joe Rogan conversation about the disappearing lake and Donald Trump being like, we'll fill it up again. And like, yeah, that's how we'll water the crops that we just covered up with a lake. All right. So we got to check in on the men. Okay. We have been keeping an eye on the UHC story because dude-on-dude crime. But in the meantime, we want to go a little deeper on how the men of America are doing.
Well, Aaron, with help from the internet, the radicalization of young men has become exceedingly prevalent. You probably have heard the term manosphere thrown around a lot this election. It's shorthand for the decentralized networks of podcasts, blogs, personalities, and social media accounts dedicated to promoting ultra-masculinity and misogyny. I did have to Google manosphere back a couple months ago because I'm like, what is this? Do we really need a manosphere? But in the last few years, this phenomenon has migrated from the fringe to the mainstream. And now after Trump's second win, the manosphere pundits are even more emboldened to display their opposition to women's rights loud and proud. Like the Nick Fuentes disgusting slogan, your body, my choice. Though the manosphere is an online term, its effects bear real world consequences, such as empowering young men to vote for Trump and an uptick in violent misogyny.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say this as an OG feminist blogger from circa 2010 to 2015. Gotta say, this is something that we kind of saw coming.
Well, at least in 2016, we saw it coming.
Yeah, it was really like swirling around. It started off with like this pickup artistry like fad that happened where there was a TV show called The Pickup Artist that basically where this like famous pickup artist took these kind of nerdy men and taught them how to like dazzle women or trick women into sleeping with them. I don't know. And there was a definite presence of misogynists online that kind of all found each other during that time. But man, podcasting has really helped tick it up there. I don't know. Have you seen a conservative swing among young people like this in your lifetime, Alyssa?
No, definitely not.
Are you worried?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, I'm almost 49 years old. And I don't remember a time when men felt so loud and proud to say things. Like, I can't imagine a time prior to this summer when a man would have ever, with a straight face, said, your body, my choice. Like, that just, even if you thought it, you never would have said it, because even if it's what you thought, you knew it was not acceptable. And now we're in a place where these guys, you know, especially online where there are a few consequences for, you know, ghoulish talk like this, there are no consequences. And so I can't remember a time when it was so acceptable to be like, women should just be in the kitchen. It's like what they're for.
I don't know if they actually believe that or if they're just saying it as a sort of way to fit in.
Either way, I mean, you can, if you're saying it out loud, even if you don't mean and it doesn't matter because people are listening to you say it and it's permission structure for other people to believe the same thing.
Totally. And I think it's like, I also think that there's like a sort of shit posting culture where you can't really tell when people are serious or joking. And then like the shit posty jokes are not really jokes. And if you're like, hey, are you being serious? Like, that's a fucked up thing to say. They're like, oh, it was a joke. And it was like, okay, really, what's the setup? What's the punchline? Like, explain to me how that is a joke, like structurally. But the idea of a joke has come to mean anything that you don't want to get in trouble for saying. And I think that they use this sort of plausible deniability of like irony to pretend that they don't mean the thing that they actually mean. And I think like, you know, you'd see it on places like on like 4chan and places where it just seemed like it was young men trying to one-up each other to gross each other out or say the wildest things. Eventually, there are people kind of in the mix that really mean the thing that was originally just said to be an outrageous sort of goofy thing. I think that men who are young, we've talked about this before on the show, but they are being outpaced in a lot of ways. We're also learning that there are parents who are going through IVF who are overwhelmingly choosing to have girls and not boys. Like, people would prefer to have girls now. And I don't think that men have caught up with how to be wanted now that they are not necessarily needed.
Needed, yeah.
The way their dads were needed, or their grandpas were needed, again, because of a system that was set up to manufacture necessity for men from women. But yeah, it seems like there is kind of a aimlessness. And also I found, and this is going to maybe be, I don't know, don't cancel me for saying this, but I think that in the last decade or so, when people who pull the levers in Hollywood and in mainstream entertainment have realized how interesting stories are and how much more, how interesting stories are and how much audience there is out there for stories that don't center the experiences of white cishet men. And so they have made space for stories to be told by and about other people and have those stories written by members of those groups. I think that there are some white cishet men who have taken that as an attack against, like, making any space for the points of view of anybody else is akin to having their point of view attacked.
Well, it's the same kind of universally with them, right? If you are talking about legislation and you want to help, you know, moms who have just had kids, it's not that we're just helping moms who just had kids. It's that we're taking something away from them, right? Mm-hmm. It's this whole total, like, 360 grievance, sort of grievance mentality that Donald Trump has been feeding into since 2009, you know, since Barack Obama became president. Mm-hmm. And it seems like for all of these men who see maybe what their grandfathers and fathers were able to accomplish because 60% of the population was kept from competing against them, you know, more often than not. And now they're like, well, it's not fair. Look at me. I can't, you know, and there are a boatload of reasons why all of these things happen. But they look and they're like, my dad was a shoe salesman and he had two kids and we had a nice house and my mom didn't work and we were comfortable. And, you know, now I have this. There's no, like, the world has changed. The economy is different. There is no sort of intellectual thinking that goes into it. They're just like, the women did it to me. It's their fault. And now I'm just going to get online and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why this moment of class solidarity, I think, is so not exciting, but interesting. And it there is, like, a hopeful thread to be taken from it, which is that the reason that these men cannot support a family on one income is not because the women. It's because of capitalism and greed and a system that exploits them to benefit fewer and fewer people more and more. I also think that, like, when there is media being made for these guys, it's not necessarily going through the same quality control that it would have gone through back, you know, 15, 20 years ago when almost everything was being made for and about white guys, you know?
Yeah. Like, look, women had soap operas back then. Back then, women had soap operas and they had everything else. So it's like, just double down. Go watch Taylor Sheridan or whatever his name is that does Yellowstone. Enjoy yourself. Watch it on repeat. That's what I do with Veep. Enjoy yourself.
Don't watch the latest episode of Yellowstone, though. Did you see what happened?
No.
Taylor Sheridan cast himself in it and he cast Bella Hadid as his girlfriend.
Oh, I read about it. I didn't see it, though. I have not gotten into Yellowstone.
It's not bad.
No, not for any reason. I have to draw the line at how many streamers I have.
Sure. It's like a frothy, soapy, it's like outside, it's like Dallas.
Montana-y.
It's like Dallas, but everybody's outside all the time. And people are wearing cowboy hats.
Well, and did you see that Taylor Sheridan has a new show called Landman, which is literally Dallas from the 80s and 90s, but just rebooted and darker with Demi Moore and John Hamm?
I pronounce it Landman.
Is it Land? What did I say?
No, it's Landman. You're right. But I see billboards all over for it. And I'm like, Landman, eh? Saul like, Landman.
It looks like a combination of Armageddon and the TV show Dallas.
I've heard good things about it. And look, Taylor Sheridan has some good stuff under his belt. Apparently, when he writes, he just, like, goes into a shed on his property and just, like write stream of consciousness stuff.
Enjoy yourself.
And his poor writer's assistant has to, like, make it make sense. But I mean, that this is a very roundabout way of saying that I think that there is not that much high quality media made for and about white guys in a way that feels like honest and right. and vulnerable and healthy. And so I think that, you know, there is a place where mediocrity and C grades in high school science are celebrated and elevated. And that seems to be the manosphere of podcasting. I also think that, look, I don't think boys are being raised all the way. I don't. And this is going to be a 2025 hobby horse. I'm saying it. Men and boys need to go to home economics class.
Agree. Absolutely. Cosign.
They need to learn how to do all this stuff. Here's my question. Okay. That's something that sort of kind of keeps me up at night because I've got two daughters, neither of whom have come out as gay yet, but they're under... They're both under five, so we'll see. They've got time.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I mean, maybe coming out won't even be a thing by the time they're adults, but whatever. I you know, there's a possibility that at some point they will have a romantic encounter with a man. And I am concerned that as they get older, the quality of men will continue to plummet. And what do I tell them?
It feels like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
What do we do? Like, what do we start? Like, do we start being like, okay, look, let's find some really thoughtful, smart, funny white guys. Give them a fuckload of money to make shows about thoughtful, funny, smart white guys and the problems that they're having that are being largely unaddressed in like the mainstream media. Like, what do we do?
I mean, that would be nice. I mean, but do you have to give the money to Taylor Sheridan so that they watch it?
I think he's got a lot of money, actually.
So maybe he should do it. This could be his public service. This could be his good deed, yeah. Paying it forward.
Yeah, but you know what? Even Kevin Costner couldn't get Liz Cheney across the finish line in Wyoming. So
I don't know.
I feel like also if you watch Yellowstone, which can be. Yes, I've only watched a couple episodes,
yeah.
But there's some like fun characters. There's a character named Beth Dutton that I am convinced.
Oh, I've seen Beth Dutton.
I am convinced that every like 55-year-old MAGA woman thinks she's Beth Dutton. Like that's
100%.
Like in her
Absolutely.
Brain when she's like yelling at the barista.
MTG 100% thinks she's Beth Dutton.
Oof, yeah. Beth Dutton would not like her.
No, and she would not like it, but I bet you MTG thinks it.
Oh my God. Okay. So how are we going to, like, what do we, I'm serious. Like, what do you think the solution is? Like, do we just like be like, all right, tried the internet, didn't work. We're taking it away from everybody until we get straightened out. Or what do we do?
They did it in Australia, at least for young kids, seems like, or at least in school. I mean, it feels like a total deprogramming, reprogramming. It feels like it took 40 years, 30 years for us to get to a place where people had stopped saying such crazy things. And back then you could say it was because of ignorance. Back then you could say it's because people weren't having the conversations. People hadn't tried to change the way people see other people. But that work has been done and they're just rejecting it. And So I don't know. I think they need some like real role models. I don't know who they would be. Do you know what I mean? Like if there's one person, okay, you know who their role model should be? Matthew McConaughey.
Oh yeah.
That man, he is first as masculine and as macho as it gets, but like such a dad out there just like helping the people of Uvalde shut down Joy Behar when she was all like, you think you're really going to be governor of Texas? And he was just like, bitch, please. I don't know. I think Matthew McConaughey needs to start a program where he takes his persona. Because I feel like all of these men would get on board with his persona, right? He's like, you know. But I feel like those kinds of people need to really get involved and try to be like, guys, come on. We know better than this. And figure out why they feel this way. I mean, we kind of know why they feel this way because they don't have everything they want. And Donald Trump tells him it's everybody else's fault and they've decided to blame women. But yeah, that's kind of it. I think that this is not a problem people like you and I can solve. I think that the cis white men need to get involved here.
I 100% don't want to discount the fact that there is like a lot of alienation and sadness and despair among young men, obviously, mm-hmm. if this is something that's resonating. But I also want to, clarify whose job it is to fix it and whose job it isn't. Because here's the thing. We've got other problems in this country that primarily affect women, like postpartum care, postpartum depression, right? Yep. Menopause, like mental health around like hormonal changes in a woman's
life. Can I get an amen?
Yes. And nobody is like, what are men doing to help women with menopause? You know, what are the men doing to help the crisis that women are having?
Perhaps they could direct some money towards research for our problems. But other than that, no, we're solving our own problems.
Exactly. And I think that there's something to be said for like, support 100%. Guys, go to therapy, form like a neighborhood workout group.
Go to BetterHelp.
Running club, do something positive and pro-social.
Start a book club. Read a book. Get off the internet.
Or just like, I don't know, hang out with people that you like. But the problem is not for women to solve. And the responsibility is not. It reminds me a little bit of like a few years ago when there was another conversation about this happening. Because I feel like we're always worried about the men, always about the men.
Mm-hmm. Well, the men do all the killing. So we kind of have to be worried about the men.
Right. That's right. They do like 98%.
They do the killing and the raping. So it's good for us to pay attention.
They're also more likely to be victims of murder. So
they
like
are.
Pretty significantly more likely. So they're kind of, you know, it's both your problem and you're doing it and you're getting hurt by it. So like,
right. Either way, they should address it.
Yeah. They should probably address it. I do think that another thing is that I've noticed this with like my 3-year-old. She has never lived in a world where she like is forced to watch commercials.
Oh, sure.
So like if she's watching like, I don't know, we're watching something on streaming on one of the streamers that has like forced ads. When one comes on or like YouTube, she's like, what? Mom, mama, oh no. And she's like upset by it. And another thing I know, like if we're in the car and she'll say she wants to listen to something while I'm driving. And when I'm like, I can't stop the car. I can't just like make whatever song you want to play in the entire world play while I'm driving, and she just cannot process that. I think that a lot of kids have grown up believing that everything that they want should be exactly how they want it at their fingertips at all times. And that is something that is dangerous
and needs to
be deprogrammed, I think. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for fixing the men this week.
That's since it's not our job, I definitely think it's more than enough time.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is already stressing about the holidays ending. Alyssa, when are you going to take down your tree?
Well, Aaron, I have 3 trees and they get taken down in different order. The last one that comes down is my bird tree, which is all soft birds and lights. And that one comes down after my birthday at the end of February because I can't have darkness in the house. So once you put the tree up, it's so hard to take it down because it really does bring such a different twinkle to the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like it opens up the living room weirdly.
It does.
We move a chair out of the way.
I have a chair in the foyer that needs to get moved right now down to the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. We got to transition the tiny baby to a crib because she's like already outgrowing her bassinet. I know.
Oh my God. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Tiny little flower.
Her favorite thing to do is just like lie in her bassinet, which is like at the foot of my bed. And she just thumps both feet down like thump, thump, thump. And it was so loud the other night that Josh, who was like sleeping in a different room, thought that someone was like jumping in our room. And it was just,
she's going to be little Katie Ledecky. She is going to do the 400 meter fly and win us gold.
She was just like taking her beefy little baby thighs and just banging them down on her.
With her clenched little meat hooks for fists.
Yes, exactly. She's just, yeah.
She's perfect.
And then when I'm like, hey, what's going on? What do you need? She'll look at me and be like, ah. And it's like, oh, that's, thank you. It's 2 a.m. this is very funny to you. It's not so funny to me. Okay, first, some announcements for the class. Earlier this week, Syria's 50-year dictatorship under the Assad regime fell after rebel factions launched a staggering assault, toppling the government in just days.
On Sunday, a bonus episode dropped on Pod Save the World where Tommy and Ben discuss this pivotal moment. And on yesterday's new episode, they discuss what could come next for Syria and how foreign countries should engage with the opposition leadership given their past ties to terrorism.
Tune into Pod Save the World now wherever you get your podcasts.
Critics are calling Empire City, the untold story of the NYPD, riveting, thought-provoking, and essential listening. Haven't started it yet? Now is the perfect time.
Hailed by Vulture as not just an expose, but a call to action, in just 8 episodes, Empire City takes you back to the origins of the NYPD and completely reframes the way we think about policing today. Listen to the series now wherever you get your podcasts, or binge all episodes ad-free on Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. All right, now let's get to Sandy Petty. Alyssa, do you want to go first?
Aaron, I saw something that I thought was a little gross that I did. I felt in this moment maybe didn't need to happen. And that is that Jonestown, Guyana, the site where 900 of Jim Jones' devotees drank the grape Kool-Aid, is being turned into a tourist destination.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. I heard this, I saw it on the news, and then I had to read some articles. And I was like, and people were like, well, why shouldn't they? They deserve to make money off of this and the country, right? And I'm like, well, I guess that's true. And they're like, you know, there's Auschwitz and Holocaust museums. Like, why can't we have this? Now, I will say that I feel that when people go to Auschwitz, they learn a larger lesson. It's not just the site of a weird cult that, you know, a very sad thing happened. But the biggest reason I'm like, this should not happen, friend of hysteria, Congresswoman Jackie Spears, was there in 1978 with her congressman who was killed. And she is just like, hell no, this is a horrible, traumatic time. You know, no lessons will be learned from this. It was a real news item that popped out at me when like you're hearing nonstop about like Luigi. And we hear about Luigi and we're hearing about all the lunatics that Trump's appointing to his cabinet. Also, quick clarification, they did not kill themselves. They were murdered. That's mm-hmm. Thank you, Caroline. You are correct. She just pinged me. You are right.
Yeah, they didn't know.
They were murdered. But I just feel like with everything happening, I was like, oh, this is what we needed. We needed some deep discussion on whether Jonestown should be a tourist destination.
Yeah, I don't think that's even petty. I think that's really...
I just feel like it's a hard no.
Yeah. Oh, it's 100% a hard no. Wow. Is it because it's in a kind of paradise-y location? Is it because it's in Suriname, right? Or French Guyana?
It's in Guyana.
Guyana, okay.
Guyana. And it is like in the middle of nowhere. Like, remember when we had Jackie on and we had done some research, it is so remote and so hard to get to. Because remember, she and her congressman took like a little prop plane to get there. Mm-hmm. But I think you can get there by like boat. And I don't mean like yacht or Disney cruise, like boat, helicopter, small prop planes. I think that's how you get there.
Yeah. I would hope the Disney cruises are skipping Jonestown. I feel like that's not...
I would hope, but who knows? Everybody's looking to make another dollar.
Oh, God. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this kind of sucks, but whatever. I have been losing my voice this week. And
yeah, you have.
I feel like I've been right on, and I don't know if I have like a sanity corner or an I feel petty. I'm like mad at everything.
That's okay. Just say what you're mad at.
Well, on election night, I had to record What a Day, like mm-hmm, at 11 p.m. in the office. And it was the night, you know, and while it was happening, while we were going to go into the studio to record, they were calling Pennsylvania for Trump. And I'm sorry if I just like brought something up for everybody. But before we went in there, I was like really emotional and I didn't want to go in. I wanted to go home. I was like, I can't be, I had like a horse backing away from the edge of a cliff sort of thing. Like, nah, like I just, I didn't want to do it. And a couple of the people, the honchos here were like, Aaron, you need to stay at work and do your job. And I was like, okay, fine. And like, I was on the verge of crying during that meeting, but like my tears got like sucked back into my eyes and I haven't cried about it. And I was talking about this with Jane Costin, the wonderful Jane Costin. And I've just sort of, we've been like, well, we haven't really been emotional about this. Like, I wonder if this is going to come out in other ways. And I got to say, guys, it's coming out. I'm just mad. I'm just fucking, I'm fucking pissed at like the smallest thing will completely set me off. Like completely. Like this morning, I feel like I'm hanging on by a thread.
I get that. I feel that in my bones. Yeah. I feel that in my bones.
Do you know what I mean? Like one thing, it's like.
Do you know what it is? Things keep happening and you're like, well, when's the other fucking shoe going to drop? And then you're like, oh, I'm living in Carrie Bradshaw's closet. It's nothing but fucking shoes and they're all going to drop.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the thing is like, I have become this week, I feel like it's all kind of boiling over. Like, and I'm just saying this to be, you know, whatever. Listeners, we've been together for what, 6 years? We're basically roommates at this point. Where it's like the smallest, like this morning I woke up and I needed to take a shower because, and I have a very specific timing that I need to do on days that I have to go into the studio. Mm-hmm. And my husband was in the shower and I was like, he knows I need to take a shower this time.
Oh no.
And then he comes out of the shower and he's like, oh, you're going to want to bring a towel in there because of course he used the towel. Of course. Like it was just stuff like that where it's like, that's not, none of those things are a big deal.
Some days they're more than the load can bear.
Like somebody turning left and doing so a little bit timidly in front of me. I'm like, I'm going to find your whole family.
Own the light. That's what I yell. I yell, you have to own the light. It's your job. You got to be ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, and the amount of like the amount of driving I have to. Anyway, I'm just saying I don't have a sanity corner. I am barely hanging on this week. And I think it's because I just haven't really been dealing with my emotions in a super healthy way since the election happened. I decided they didn't exist and that I would never have to handle them. And like a medical bill, you just cannot ignore that. Eventually it comes in the mail and the envelopes get redder and redder and suddenly you're like, oh shit.
I tried to deal with my post-election depression by trying Lexapro and it sent me into an orbit I didn't know existed and then took me a week to get normal again. It is only just now that I'm like, okay, the fire ants aren't crawling up my legs anymore.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, it was bad. Ugh. It turns out that when you are a lady of a certain age, SSRIs can be helpful. They also can already mess with your very influx hormones. Mm-hmm. So it actually made all of my perimenopause symptoms 10x worse. And it was like a form of terrorism in my bed every night between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. when I would wake up.
The more I learn about like women's health, just what we go through over the course of our lives.
We're
just
so tough.
Normal lives. Yes, we're very tough, but I get why people thought we were witches. I get it. Because there's a lot going on that we understand.
Do you mean like
very little?
Be in the middle of a room and just burst into flames? Like that is 100% correct.
Oh my God.
I'm just out with people and I'm like, hold on, it's going to be okay. And the red flush just comes all the way up to the tippy top of my head. I'm like, don't worry, I'm not going to sweat on you. I'm just going to turn real red. It'll be over in a minute.
I know. I feel like if I were I feel like so full of emotions right now that if I were like a 13-year-old girl, I would like make a poltergeist in my home. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
She's got a storm that lives inside of her.
At least they have like Jenny Han books they can binge read.
Seriously. Anyway, so listeners, I'm sorry if that was like a little bit dark, but I wanted to be honest with you guys.
I bet a lot of people feel the same.
And then, you know, I got these fucking kids. I got two
They're
of
so
them.
They're so cute,
They're
though.
They're so cute.
The Christmas pictures were so cute.
Thank you so much. They're very
smiling
cute.
Smiling on Santa's lap.
They are relentless. Children are relentless. Like, you know, there's just no taking a break. There's no not being at you have to have a percentage in the tank for them at all times. And if that's all you have, then you have nothing left over for yourself. They get that percentage of you regardless. And so, yeah, it's been a little bit rough. And see, again, under normal circumstances, Alyssa, I would be crying when I said this. can't cry anymore.
No.
I don't know
what
happened.
You're tapped out. The well is empty.
You know what? It's the Santa Ana winds blowing the tears just directly out of my eyes. But I just don't.
You can't. They just vaporize before they hit your cheeks.
Yeah. So I'm going to be dragging my carcass through the end of the year.
That's good. That's the only way a carcass meant to be done. Just dragged.
At least the Christmas tree is up, you know? At least it's up.
Thank goodness.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, we've really enjoyed really enjoyed your emails since the election. Hysteria@crooked.com. Just say hi. Let us know what's going on with you. If there's a story you think that we should cover, or if there's something that you thought you wanted to add to something we've covered. Love hearing from you. You are all just the greatest. Alyssa, speaking of the greatest, you also are the greatest. Thank you for being with me this week and every week. And there will be more Hysteria for you next Thursday. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolade, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.